Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. and you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, as we assemble around your table this afternoon, this morning, we pray that, King of Kings, your glory will come upon us. Your revelation will come upon us, that we will know you more than when we entered in this place, in the name of Jesus. Speak to somebody in this place. Minister to somebody online. Touch a life, Father Lord. Change a life in the name of Jesus Christ. Change a life, change a life, change a life this very morning. My God, let this be a new beginning in somebody's life in the name of Jesus. Give you the praise, give you the praise, give you the praise. Father, take over my intellect, take over my tongue, take over King of Kings. Oh, Father, my whole being, Lord, and speak through me. I want to be your mouthpiece, my Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready? I am ready. Amen. I am ready. I am ready. This morning, I want to talk about the glory of God. The glory of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, Lord, reveal your glory to me. Yeah, this morning people were praying here. I think Minister Emmanuel must have peeped into my notes. Yeah. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. The divine glory revealed and restored. Hallelujah. Lord, show me your glory. Lord, show us your glory. Lord, show somebody your glory in the name of Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, Moses prayed and said, please, please, please show me your glory. Hallelujah. This was a man who was no stranger to the things of God. He was no stranger to the power of God. Yet, he's asking to be shown the glory of God. This was Moses' desperate desire. He said, if you cannot show me your glory, I'm not moving an inch. I am not taking one step. I need your glory. Somebody in this place, you need to see the glory of God like never before. Hallelujah. And I promise you, you will see the glory of God. You will see the glory of God. Hallelujah. He wanted to know all the facets of God. You see, you can never know God completely through and through. You cannot. So that's why you can never be satisfied of his glory. Hallelujah. You may want to turn that thing around for me. Hallelujah. You cannot get satisfied of his glory. He wanted to see all the facets of the glory of God. Hallelujah. And what does God say to him? God says to him, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will make all, not some, all my goodness. Somebody say, I want to see all your goodness, Lord. Now say it like you are convinced. I want to see all your goodness. David says, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. I know that I will see the goodness of the Lord when I am out of this world. That one is evident. It's quite evident. When I get into his presence, I will see the goodness of the Lord. But even when I am still here on earth, I want to see his goodness. Hallelujah. I want a taste of his goodness. God replied, I will make all my goodness pass before you. The word glory comes from the Hebrew word kabod. Kabod, which means abundance. Abundance. It means abundance. Hallelujah. It means what? Abundance. What Moses was asking for the kabod of God. I want to see the kabod of God. I want to see what he was saying. Show me more glory. Give. He was asking for God's abundance. an overflow. I want an overflow. David says he fills my cup, and my cup does what? Overflows. I'm not satisfied with being filled to the brim. I want an overflow. You understand? When you are filled with the kabod, an overflow of the kabod of God, everything around you is affected by the glory of God. Hallelujah. When you are at your place of work, the glory of God affects every other person. That's why Joseph, the Bible says that Joseph in Potiphar was blessed. Potiphar was blessed because of Joseph. The glory of God that was on Joseph. Wherever you are, as long as the glory, the kabod of God on you is overflowing, everything around you will be touched. Do you understand? I'm not asking for me alone. I'm asking that wherever I go, I want people to be touched, to be moved by the glory of God in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Moses was not settling for the things, or the experiences, or the encounters of the past. You know, some of us can be, we are such satisfied. I got born again, that's it. That is not enough. Yesterday he moved, yes, but I want more. I want more. I want more. I want more. Yesterday you ate some food, didn't you? Right now, some of you are already looking at your watch. When is he finishing? Because the tummy is asking for more. You want more physical food, but we do not want more of his glory. Can you imagine? I would rather get more of his glory than more food. I would rather get more of his glory than more money. Hallelujah. Moses is telling God, I have seen you. I have seen you in Egypt. Even before Egypt, I have seen you at the burning bush. How many of you have ever seen a burning bush that is burning and yet not being consumed? That experience, who has ever seen it? If you have ever seen it, just come here and I will put my head down over, and you lay your hands on my head. If you have ever seen it, that was a rare encounter. A rare encounter. If it was me, I wouldn't even be asking for more glory. That would be enough. But Moses is saying, not even that one is enough. I want more. In Egypt, he has seen more miracles. Until the firstborn of Egypt is killed and everything that's firstborn is killed. That was a miracle. That was the glory of God. He has seen the glory of God where at the parting of the Red Sea. Just go and try and part the Thames. Just there. It's just there. He parted the Red Sea. But he's still asking for what? For more glory. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want more. I want more glory. He was ready for another encounter. An encounter of abundance. Encountering the glory of God is all about allowing God to give you the abundance of his presence. The abundance of his presence. And this morning, I want to take you into the New Testament in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Hallelujah. Open Matthew chapter 17. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord has got to come. The glory of the Lord has got to come upon us. Hallelujah. Matthew 17 verse 1. The Bible says, After six days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. After which six days, in order to understand the context of this scripture, we need to go back into Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus and his disciples have just crossed over to the other side, and then they discover that they have forgotten to bring bread along with them. They forgot, you know how you forget some supplies. You're on a journey and you forget some supplies. Oh my God, I forgot that. They realized that they had forgotten food. Can you imagine? So for most of us, before even pack anything, the first thing we pack should be is food. these guys forgot bread. And Jesus said to them in Matthew 16, verse 6, the Bible says, Jesus said to them, he watched them and noticed that they had forgotten bread. So he said, watch and be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Watch and be careful. Hey! When they heard this, they began discussing among themselves, saying, is it because we forgot the bread that is saying that? Jesus looked at them and said in verse 8, Matthew 16, 8, oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. Why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Why, of all people, you guys are still wondering that you don't have bread when I am around? Do you understand that? It says in verse 9, it says, do you not yet understand? In other words, have you been walking with me all this time? You have not even realized who I am. You don't know what I'm capable of doing. He says, do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 people? If I could feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves, and then you gather even more baskets, because they ate to their fill and there was excess. He also reminds them, the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered. He says in verse 11, how is it that you fail to understand? How is it that you fail to understand that when I'm speaking about the unleavened bread, I'm not talking about bread. Because if it was bread, and there's no bread, I am the bread. You need to know that I am the bread. We are scratching our heads, wondering what to do. Yet he is with us, and he's wondering, do you not know who I am? Have you not yet even perceived who I am? Why are you crying like the rest who do not know me? And yet you have walked with me all this. You are my disciples. In other words, you guys, do you really get it? You have been in church for how many? You have been in salvation for many years. You are counting 20, you are counting, but you are still crying like the person who does not know Christ. If they had known who he was, they would not have cried or said, oh my God, we have forgotten bread. You are with the bread of life, you are with the bakery. And you are saying you have forgotten a loaf of bread? Come on. Come on. Come on. You are walking with a bakery and you are crying for crumbs. Hey, open your eyes and see. That's what he was trying to tell them. Open your eyes and see. I am the bread. I am available. I am able to provide bread. I do not need to carry bread because I am the bread. Hallelujah. I am. He is. Whatever it is that is bothering you, he is. Just look closely, open your eyes and see his glory. See his glory. This prompts Jesus Christ to ask them a question. He says, these guys do not know who I am. Then he begins it in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. He begins to ask some questions. He says, who do these people say that I am? Who do these people say that the Son of Man is? These people that have been walking up and down among them, what do they say of me? Leave that verse there, please. Who do you say that I am? Those men out there. And then some of them began to say that, you know, some say you are John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Others say you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Okay. Then what about you? Those people may not know me, but what about you? They have not walked with me, but what about you? Verse 15. But who do you say that I am? Do you have an inkling of who I truly am? Or are you also like the rest of the guys? And everybody went quiet. Then somehow the loud-mouthed one, Peter, God by his grace, you know, shone a light into his heart, into his soul, and he gave him a glimpse of who Jesus is. Then Peter answers, he confesses, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You are the what? The Christ, the Son of the living God. Now Jesus is happy. He says, at least one of them has got it. At least one of them has what? Has got it. Then he begins to tell them plainly what he has come to do, what the Messiah has come to do. That he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the priests, the elders, be killed, and he will rise again on the third day. The same man who has just had that revelation to show you that, you know, at times revelations come or think, you know, we get an epiphanies, but we don't just own them. Immediately, this man puts him aside and begins to counsel him, saying, "You know, you cannot do that." Peter begins to rebuke him. "You cannot die." My goodness. Jesus begins to know that this man even has not understood who I am. So he decides to up the lesson. He decides to take them to a higher level. That is when we get into Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. After 6 days of those events, then he took them on a field trip to show them something. Are you together with me? He decides to show them something. Because mere words had failed to deliver the message. Mere words had failed to deliver the message. So on this occasion, he wanted them to see. Because some of us, before we can see, we cannot believe. He wanted to show them who he really is. Hallelujah. So he takes them on a field trip. And not every one of them is taken. He chooses three of them. Because I think the rest of the other guys could not contain it. He chooses just three of them. Peter, James, and John. And he takes them at a higher mountain. I am reminded of Abraham. Before he was Abraham, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 to 4, we find this old man, he has been waiting for a promise from God, but the promise is not coming. And God has been promising him, "I will make you father of nations, I will make you father of nations." But the more he speaks it, the more his cohorts or his peers are becoming grandfathers. And he's wondering, what's going on? So in Genesis chapter 15, the Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. The word came in a vision. Not in words, but in a vision. Hallelujah. And this is what it says. "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be great." I am your shield. Your reward shall be great. If I hear these words, a voice opens from heaven and says these words to me, I will rest. But not Abraham. Abraham says no. Bible says in verse, "But Abraham said, Oh Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. I know that you are going to be my great shield. I know that you are going to be my exceedingly great reward, but I need a child. I need some more." You understand? "I have seen the glory, but I need some more." Mm-hmm. "And Abraham said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, says, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own shall be your heir." Eliezer of Damascus will not be your heir. That which, in other words, the story does not end here. Can I prophesy to somebody here?
The story does not end right there where you are. Hallelujah. That which you see is not it. That's not it. No, 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 no. There's more glory. There's more glory to come. Hunger for that glory. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for what? Do not settle for Eliezer, my friend. There is an Isaac. It's coming. Do not settle for less. Don't settle for less. Thank God for that promotion. But there's more than that. There's more. Oh, man. There's more. Now, God, in speaking to Abraham, he realizes that his words are not enough. The words are not enough. So what does he do? He changes the mode of communication. He says, you know what? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. He says, Lord, he held him by his hand. He said, come. Come outside. I believe it was night. He says, look at the heaven. Because you can't look at the heaven during the day and see stars. It must have been night. Look and number the what? The stars. If you are able to number them, then he said, so shall be your offspring. What? That is what he wanted to see. The moment Abraham saw, the Bible says in verse 6, and he believed the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Hallelujah. He had to do what? To see. Back into Matthew chapter 17. So Jesus Christ does the same thing with his disciples. Words were not enough. The miracles they had seen were not enough for them to know that he was who he was. So he takes them on a field trip. So that words, you know, may be amplified by something else. In verse 2 of Matthew chapter 17, the Bible says, after he had taken them up on the mountain, something spectacular happened. And he was transfigured before them. The Greek word out of which we get transfigured is metamorpho. Where we get metamorphosis. He was changed. The man that they knew, the man that they had walked along with all the time, in a second he changed. My God! He was transformed. He changed on the outward. His expression as manifesting a change in the nature of his essence was very evident before them. Quite suddenly, they saw something they had never seen. This was not a mere physical occurrence. No. It was the disclosure of the divine glory of the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. They saw something else. It was not a dream. It's not a dream. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 3 to 5, and as they were just looking at this, something happened. Behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Moses and Elijah in this encounter. And Peter, the noisy one. You know, have you ever seen people in a conversation? You are in a conversation with three people. And somebody, these kind of people who just come and bump into the conversation and begin to say stuff that does not even, you know, doesn't matter. It does not even comply to everything that you are discussing. He just begins to bubble. And Peter began to say, Lord, if it is good, oh my God, if it is good, I wish we could build three tents here. The Bible says he did not even know what he was saying. It was what he saw was too much for him. He was too mesmerized. He was bubbling. For he did not know what to say. That's what Luke says. He did not know what to say. They were so terrified. But you see, in the presence of God, something happens. God has got a way of revealing to you things that are older than you. He reveals to you things that are older than you. Things that happened even before you were here. How did these guys know that this is Moses and Elijah? glory of the Most High God. When the glory of God is upon you, you begin to see things that are older than you. You begin to see things that are ahead of you. You begin to see things that are around you that you did not see before. Hallelujah. They had been with Jesus all along, but suddenly they are seeing him at another dimension. You know, there's things that are around you that you don't know how powerful they are. They are veiled. Some of them are already in your possession. They are veiled. Some of them are in you. The gifts sing in you. You do not even know how the glory that you behold, that is beholden in you, because you need the glory of God to shine it upon you. Mark and Matthew, they use that word metamorpho. They use that word transfiguration. But Luke avoids that term and instead says, but that the appearance of his face became different. In that very moment, Jesus' face became different. They saw something else. These men saw something else. Something they had never seen. And this was an encounter of the glory of God. This was an encounter. I think Peter, on this occasion, you know, his level of revelation got to another level. His level of knowing Jesus Christ went to another level. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, Luke says that they were sleeping. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. They did what? They saw his glory. Can I prophesy to somebody in this place? You are about to see the glory of God in the name of Jesus Christ. They saw. They did not hear. They saw. This is not about hearing. This is about seeing. It's about seeing. The Son of God is about to metamorpho before your very physical eyes. And this is not going to be a dream, my friend. You're going to see it physically. His face, his countenance, is about to be transfigured before your very eyes. Your knowledge of him is about to change as it's changed for these three disciples. He recalibrated their knowledge of him. He reconditioned them. He reprogrammed them. By the time they left that mountain to go down the hill, the Bible says they were silent. They could not even talk. Because of what they had seen. They were so shocked. Their perception had changed. What do men call me? What about you? Who do you say that I am? He is about to change that perception in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The way you see him, the way you know him is about to change. The way you interact with him is about to change. You see, he's not a mere man. He is the Son of God. The dimension in which you know him is about to shift, my friend. You will go deeper and higher after this higher revelation. They saw the Shekinah glory of God. Evidence number one, shining face. The shining face. The Bible says that his face was shining. His face shone like the sun. His face was like the sun. If anybody can look into the sun and his face was like the sun. I'm reminded of Moses. Moses goes into the mountain, Mount Sinai, in Exodus chapter 34, verse 29 to 30. The Bible says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone. When you are in the Shekinah glory of God, your face shines. You come out different. You come out different. That's what happened. These guys, they came out different guys from the mountain. Because he had been talking with God, Moses. That's why his face was shining. And Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses. And behold, the skin of his face shone. And they were afraid to come near him. They were afraid to come near him. Now in this conference, this tripartite, there is Moses. There is Elijah. Engaged in this awesome conversation. And the Bible says in Luke that they appeared to be talking about Jesus' departure. The conversation was high caliber. And these guys, we are privy to that. My God, God is about to cause you to hear conversations that are of high caliber, conversations that matter, conversations that change systems, conversations that change the world, conversations that are higher in higher realms, in the name above every other name. The Bible says the cloud, there was a cloud that came. A cloud came and enveloped them. A cloud came and enveloped them. Luke chapter 9 verse 34, it says, and as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered into the cloud. A cloud of the glory of God overshadowed them. May he overshadow you in Jesus' mighty name. May he overshadow you. The Message Bible says they were enveloped by his radiant glory. You know that letter, you write a letter and put it in an envelope. That's how the glory of God, once the abode of God comes upon you, you are enveloped in his glory. And guess what? We can no longer see you, but the glory of God. That's what I want to see. I'm tired of being seen. Because the more you see of me, the more you run away. Because there's nothing good in me. But when once the abode of God comes upon me, then I'm covered in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need the cupboard. The Bible says they were so terrified. They fell on their faces. God is about to terrify you with his glory in a good way. In a good way. He's about to terrify you in a good way with his glory. He's about to envelop you with his glory. You will be so terrified in a good way because you are about to see something that you have never seen in your life. Never ever seen. And he said, do not be afraid. It is me. What you have just seen is me. That's reminiscent of Exodus chapter 24, verse 16. Again, about Moses, the Bible says, the glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. 6 days before even Moses was able to get there. And on the seventh day, God called Moses in out of the midst of the cloud. You understand that? On top of that, something happens out of the cloud. The Bible says a voice came out of the cloud. A voice came. The Shekinah glory began to speak. The voice, Matthew chapter 17 verse 5. He said he was still speaking when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And then a voice from the cloud. There was a voice from a cloud which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. My goodness. A voice spoke. This is not the first time we are hearing a voice from God. Do you remember the first time we heard that voice about Jesus Christ? At the baptism. At the baptism. But this voice is different. The addressee is different. The voice at the baptism, we find that in Mark 1:11, says, and the voice came from heaven after he had just been baptized and pulled out of the water. The voice said, you are my beloved son with whom I am what? I am well pleased. Who is he addressing? Who is God addressing here? His son. You are my beloved son. You are my son and I am well pleased with you because of what you are doing right now. This one was addressed to Jesus. But on this occasion, in Matthew chapter 17, at this mountain of transfiguration, the addressee is different. He was not speaking about Jesus. The voice says, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved son. I am well pleased in him. Listen to him. The voice is addressed to Peter, to John, and James. It is reaffirming what Peter has just confessed in Matthew chapter 16. Do you understand? He's saying in Matthew chapter 16, I dropped it into your spirit and it was revealed to you. But right now I am saying it that you may know that this is my son. Do not joke around with him. Listen to him. So you who has been standing in his way, telling him that he cannot go to Jerusalem, get out of his way. Listen to him. He knows what he's doing. Do you understand that? The voice and to whom it is addressed in this moment speaks of the meaning of this whole episode. The transfiguration was primarily addressed to the disciples rather than Jesus. Do you understand that? God appears to be reaffirming what Peter has confessed. It is the true revelation of the messianic identity of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. In case you were doubting him, he is the Son of God. This was not a dream. It was real. It was happening in real time. That's why Peter writes later on in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 to 18. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 to 18 in the Amplified. 2 Peter chapter 16, verse 1 to 18. He says, "For we are not following devised stories." Mm-mm. If you think we are here because these are devised stories, then you are, you know, that is convoluted. We are here because we know why we are here. First, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 to 18. It says, "We are not following cleverly devised stories when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But we were eyewitnesses." We saw the authority of the sovereign power. Hallelujah. They saw it. In verse 17, it says, "For when he was invested with honor and glory and kabod from God the Father, and a voice was borne to him by the splendid majestic glory in the bright cloud that overshadowed him, saying, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased and delight.'" Verse 18, we actually heard his voice. We actually heard his voice. So if you had, and if you found anybody trying to talk you out, saying that this, whatever you are believing, is just a fact, these things happened. Peter says we heard the voice born out of heaven. Why? He says, "For we were together with him on the holy mountain." He was there. He saw the glory, the greatness, the splendor of Jesus Christ, the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ was revealed to them at the transfiguration. And this is what they saw. Number one, at the transfiguration, number one, they became privy to the true form, the true morph of the Son of God in his pre-existent glory. In that very moment, they saw it. They saw him as he was before his incarnation. Before he was born. Because after he was born, something happened. He emptied himself of his glory. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7 says, "For he who was in the form of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. At birth, he emptied himself of the glory." That is why people who saw him could not recognize who he was. Do you understand? Many looked at him and said, "Oh, he's the carpenter's son. Who do you think he is? You who is watching, who do you think he is? You who is sat here, who do you think he is? Who is he to you? Do you know him? Have you come to that encounter of knowing who he really is?" Even those who were following him, these guys who were with him, the disciples, they did not notice, they did not recognize him because he had emptied himself of the glory. That is why on this occasion, he had to show them, give them a glimpse, a snippet of who he really is. So they saw him in that very moment. They saw his glory as he was before he came on earth. Number two, they also saw in that very moment, they saw the glory that he was to receive at his resurrection. In that very moment, they saw that. They saw it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. Paul says, "But our citizenship is where? In heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body." Like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. That glorious body refers to the body, his body after resurrection. They saw this in a moment, in a flash of a moment. Number three, they also saw the glory of God that was about revealed in them here and then, in that very moment. You see, at creation, when God created man, he created them full of his glory. Man was created full of his glory, in the image of God, because our glory is derived from God. Man derives his glory from God. But at the fall, something happened. The human glory was what? Was diminished. It was reduced. How do I know? Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, for all have done what? Have sinned and done what? And fallen short of the glory of God. We had the glory of God. But at the fall, we fall short of the glory. And Jesus Christ came to restore that glory. He came to restore that glory. In his prayer and in ministry at the end of, at the end of his ministry, in his prayer, he says in John chapter 17, verse 1, he says, he lifted up his eyes and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may do what? May glorify you. Glorify who? The Son, that the Son may glorify you in them, in you and me. In verse 22 of chapter 17, he says, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them. The glory you have given me, I have done what? I have given to them, that they may be one as we are one. So through his life and ministry, he exemplified the glory of God. He manifested the glory of God. Through his death, my friend, and his resurrection, his glory was the glory of man was restored. He redeemed us from the curse of death and redeemed us from the curse of hell and restored that glory that was stolen at the fall. And then after that, he began to speak plainly to the disciples about his death. He started speaking plainly again, now that they knew who he was. This is what he says in Luke chapter 9, verse 14. Let these words, 44, Luke 9, 44 says, let these words sink into your ears, that the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men. In other words, he's about to go and restore this glory that you lost. He had to reveal and restore that glory of God. From then on, Luke says in Luke chapter 9, 51, that he set his eyes to Jerusalem. He set his eye to Jerusalem, to the reason why he came, to restore and reveal the glory of God. Through his death, he had to reveal it. He had to restore man's glory in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And Romans chapter 8, verse 30, Paul pens and says, and those whom he has foreordained, those whom he has foreordained, hello, is anybody here that has been foreordained? Are you here and you have been foreordained? You believe that? For those whom he foreordained, he also did what? He also called. Romans 8:30. And those whom he called, he also what? Justified. He acquitted them. He made them righteous. He put them in right standing with God. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition of state of being. He glorified us. He glorified you and me. You are glorified. Hallelujah. You are glorified. You are not the normal person that you were before. Some of you may not know me, but this is not how I used to be. I am a glorified version of who I was before. Somebody yesterday sent me a picture, and I asked myself, who is this guy? It took me some time to know that it was me, to realize that it was me. Many years ago, I couldn't recognize me because God has glorified me. You are going from glory to glory. I said you are going from glory to glory. He's going to reveal his glory in you, and you're going from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 says, and we all, how many? All. we all. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all, with unveiled face, with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to another. You are being transformed. That's why I said this is not the end. Your life does not, this is not the end of your story. No. You are being transformed from one glory to another. Yesterday's glory is gone, but there's something coming again. There's something coming. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. That's what he says. Hallelujah. And in this very moment, at the Mount of this Transfiguration, the disciples also saw the Lord's glory when he returns to judge the world. They saw ahead that kabod. They saw it. Because all of us who believed in him, whether dead or living, at his return, we will be glorified. Whether living or dead, we will be glorified. Whether living or dead, we will be glorified. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4 says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear in glory with him. You will also appear in him in glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What you are about to become, my friend, is about to be revealed. What you are about to become is in the process of being revealed. He's about to transfigure himself before you. Hallelujah. He's about to metamorphose before you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. God's glory in you is about to be made manifest. As we come to a close, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John 3, 2. Very powerful scripture. 1 John 3, 2. Write that down. It says, behold, beloved, we are God's children. When? Now. Not tomorrow. Now. When are you a child of God? Now. Behold, beloved, we are children of God now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. It has not yet appeared. Those who have written you off, they should hold on. Those who have written you off and said you are finished, they should hold their horses, because what you are about to become has not yet been revealed. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. This speaks of his return, but I also prophesy that even right now as you are here, he has got the capacity to reveal himself to you in a different and new way, in the name above every other name, and you are about to see him as he really is. Hallelujah. What you are about to become is around the corner. You're about to be revealed. There are some preachers here who are about to be revealed. There are some businesswomen who are about to be revealed. There are some pastors who are about to be revealed. There are some people, oh my God, you're about to be revealed to the world. People know you in a different way, but you're about to be revealed in a different way. So do not be that perturbed by what you are going through right now. Don't be perturbed. You are about to behold the glory and splendor of God, his majesty, his might, and his greatness. Hallelujah. The Jesus you know is about to metamorphose into another one that you have never seen. And that's what Paul's got. Paul got this revelation in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Romans 8, verse 18. Write that down. You need that scripture. Romans 8, 18. If you can project that so that we can read it together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. The glory that's to be revealed in you. Give me the Amplified. And he says in the Amplified, but what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, not tomorrow, this present life, are not worthy of being compared with the glory, with the kabod that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. Lord, show me your glory. May he show you his glory right now. Hallelujah. Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. In your home, in your career, in your relationships, in your business, in your ministry. Behold, your light has come. Behold, your light has come. The glory of God has risen upon you. He's rising upon you. He's rising upon you. He's rising upon you. You are about to experience him like you have never seen, in the name above every other name. Arise and shine. Some of you have been, your heads have been bowed down, and all you have been seeing is dark. All you have been seeing is darkness. All you have been seeing is trouble. But arise and shine. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your face. Lift up your face and see the glory of God. See him be helped. Oh, man. See him revealed to you, revealed to you in a special way, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Mandele, may he reveal his healing in your life. May he reveal his healing right now in your body, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Behold the kabod of God. Behold the kabod of God. Behold the glory of God fills your house. Behold the glory of God fills you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. May he shine upon you. May he shine upon you, that wherever you go, they will see the glory of the Most High God. At your place of work, you will shine. In your business, you will shine. On the trains, you will shine. As you drive, you will shine. As you fly, you will shine. Wherever you go, you will shine. In your ministry, you will shine. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Mande rebrosi karabrakare. Rebrosa caraba, rebroseke teke rebrosi carabande rebosa, rebroseke teke diaramande reboshi caraba carabande rebo. Behold, behold the glory of God. Behold the glory of God. Behold the glory of God. Behold the kabod of God. Mande reboshi. Enough is enough of yesterday. Yesterday's glory is gone. It's about to reveal himself to you in a special way. Father, reveal yourself to your child in the name of Jesus. Show him your glory. Show her your glory, that they may know who you truly are. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time,